Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson, and this is On Point. Yesterday, Tom Ashbrook was dismissed from his role as host of this program. To tell us more about the investigations that led to this decision is David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. David, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Jane.
So there were two separate investigations here, David. What were the allegations against Tom Ashbrook and who made them?
Well, these investigations went in parallel. There was a series of allegations lodged by Tom Ashbrook's current and former colleagues at WBUR about sexual harassment. There were allegations made about the kind of workplace environment that he created through his utterances, but also through what was described as unwanted touching. I don't know all of the allegations that were made to excuse me, the law firm that looked into this on behalf of WBUR's parent company, which is, of course, Boston University. But I do know in talking with some of his current and former colleagues, I heard of times in which he used exceptionally vulgar epithet to describe a woman who was on the line with him. He had muted his own microphone. I had heard from a former colleague who said that he grabbed her bottom at a workplace function. And I heard from others who had described similar such incidents. There was a second and parallel inquiry by a consulting group done on behalf of the university about the question of just the workplace climate more generally, whether or not Ashbrook, who was a notable and accomplished journalist previously at the Boston Globe as a foreign correspondent and foreign editor in particular, that he was hard-driving, but he was hard-driving in a way that turned abusive, it turned unwelcome, and it created just a hostile environment for people to come to work every day and to try to do their best to put out a good show. And as we now know, there were split findings. That is, that actually the allegations, according to the law firm's review, did not turn up what they defined as violations of the university's workplace policies on sexual harassment, but that he had helped to foster a hostile work environment and that he was forced out effective yesterday as a result.
So to be clear, the law firm of Holland and Knight determined that Tom Ashbrook did not violate Boston University's sexual misconduct or Title IX policy, right, David?
That's right.
And the second track, this independent review by Longpoint Verified, claims that Tom did create an abusive work environment. Tell us a little bit more about that and what Boston University said specifically about it.
Well, they said that that what he did is not consistent with university policies, not consistent with what they need to be able to ensure their employees feel welcome, that they are entitled to be in a workplace that they recognize as not abusive to them if they make mistakes or have differences of opinions. You know, I think that it's very interesting because these reviews happened in parallel and are separate lines of inquiry, but they're very much both part of the Me Too moment. I think there's a recognition from Boston University, but much more broadly, not just in the media landscape, but a growing, I think, sense among employers corporately that things that were allowed to pass in the past as idiosyncrasies, as quirks, as markers of iconoclastic figures and behaviors may not be acceptable anymore, and that that's not simply a question of whether conduct is sexual harassment, but it goes to a larger basket of concerns that we're seeing addressed, and I think you've seen Boston University address it right now.
Let me read a statement from Boston University. It says, On Point staffers allege that over the years, Ashbrook created a work environment that included, quote, verbal assaults, intimidating actions, consistent bullying, and unwanted touching. It goes on to say employees described ways in which Mr. Ashbrook consistently overstepped reasonable lines and created a dysfunctional workplace in the process. David Folkenflik, many of our listeners on social media and more are wondering about management here. WBUR management said that they have been aware of Tom Ashbrook's behavior over the years. They talk with him about it and were, quote, ultimately unsuccessful in changing it. Here is WBUR general manager Charlie Kravitz speaking with WBUR's Martha Biebinger yesterday after the news.
We were not blind to them and we were not cavalier about them. And I feel responsible for the fact that this conduct did not change.
David Folkenflik, what is management's responsibility in a case like this?
It's so interesting. I feel as though at times, if you think about management, they've got dual and in some ways slightly dual imperatives that are slightly in tension with one another. I think that workplace managers often have to harness talent and difficult talent, whether or not on or off the air, and you know, channel their energies into productive and constructive ways. I think they also have to make sure that they're creating as constructive an environment for the people who work there in the workplace, and make sure that they have, you know, that they want to come to work, that there's not every day some reason that they're being feeling emotionally bruised simply by virtue of showing up to do their jobs and trying to do the best they can. And in this case, I think management, it's fair that they're facing some tough questions from your colleagues there at WBUR, as we have at NPR, as folks have at CBS and NBC and other institutions that have had to take hard looks at themselves as well. Because in this case, you know, the fact that there were accusations against Tom and concerns raised about Tom for so many years made it in some ways easier for Boston University to dismiss him. But it also raises more profound questions about why management wasn't able to get this under control more quickly. And I think that's a concern and that's a problem.
In the Boston University statement, WBUR management says the investigation's findings suggest that the damage done by Ashbrook cannot be mitigated. David Folkenflik, the report makes clear the need for station management to implement more formal rules within the organization. Tell us about that.
Well, I think there's going to have to be, and forgive me for not knowing exactly what management is going to do yet. I think they must be in the moment themselves trying to devise these things. But management is going to have to be clear with folks in the workplace about what their expectations are and what transgressions are. And they're going to have to rebuild trust and rebuild a culture there for the program and more generally for the station. I think that's the lesson in all these things and in all these episodes that have been played out over the last particularly year and a half since the Fox News scandals broke with Roger Ailes in the summer of 2016. I think that, you know, trust is hard won over a series of years and easily broken. And easily lost. And I think that right now, Beer's management and Boston University is going to have to take time to rebuild that, even as it you know, can take some pride, I think, in the reporting work that went on to try to get an understanding for what happened with Ashbrook. I do want to point out that, you know, Tom Ashbrook himself points to the management's you know, shall we say, failure or inability to get control of this concern and of his own behavior that's strayed over the line in the non-harassment element of things. Ashbrook points to that and says, well, that's management failure. And that's something that should be addressed more immediately, closer to the episodes that drew concern in a way that mean that we don't have to get to the point of dismissing somebody. Like, you know, if there's a workplace issue, it should be resolved. And on the one hand, I think there's some, you know, common sense in that. On the other hand, it would seem if you read Ashbrook's statement that there's some elision of personal responsibility. He talks about, you know, if I push too hard, if I press too much, if I seem too urgent, you know, that was all in the effort to produce a great show and because of the urgency I feel about the direction of the country right now. That's a rough paraphrase of what he said in his statement. I think a lot of people, including friends of his and colleagues of his who I've talked to in recent weeks, would say that's who Tom is. He's a hard-driving guy. And look, in old-fashioned newsrooms at the Globe, the New York Times, and you know, Baltimore Sun, where I worked, and other places, you used to hear a lot of profanity on deadlines. And that's the way things sometimes work. It's a rough-edged business at times. But that's not necessarily a workplace people want to be in. And although Ashbrook does say that he might do some things differently, it seems to me that he sidesteps the notion that he's ultimately responsible for this behavior. So, you know, he does raise some interesting questions about management himself.
Important to note that within WBUR, there are those who agree with Tom's dismissal, and there are those who believe the decision has gone too far. Is this a final decision, David? Is Tom Ashbrook looking to appeal? Do we know of any settlement for Tom Ashbrook or any further legal action?
Well, your own reporting at WBUR has reflected that he will be paid through the end of his contract, which I believe would be roughly the beginning of summer, but that there was no further payments contemplated. He's, you know, rather publicly retained attorney who said that she felt that this was a decision that outstepped what needed to occur here, that management had failed to address a workplace concern in the workplace, and that should have been done far shy of dismissal. He hasn't said he'll sue. It certainly seems as though, you know, legal possibilities exist out there. But, you know, we're in a moment where a lot of media companies and a lot of employers more generally are having to look hard at what they're willing to tolerate and what message they send when they do. At NPR, we broke news about sort of a trail of accusations about workplace misconduct against the gentleman who was at that time the CEO and publisher of the Los Angeles Times. His name was Ross Levinson. He went on leave. They commissioned a review of him. And a few weeks later, not very many days ago, they gave him essentially a promotion to be the chief digital officer for all of the newspaper chain Tronc. That sends a certain message in some ways, given that they offered no detail of the grounds on which they decided to exonerate him and to promote him, other than they said he didn't do anything wrong.
There are a range of response from our listeners on this, and I want to read a few here. Cindy writes on Twitter, "While I can understand why the decision was made, I am saddened by it. Listening to Tom was like listening to an old friend. I thoroughly enjoyed On Point. Wish some agreement could have been reached. I'm still listening every day, but it is not the same." Sally writes on Facebook, "Tom Ashbrook was a voice of intelligence, journalistic integrity, and compassion in a confusing world. The amount of work by the entire staff must have gone into each show is staggering to contemplate. I am sad for all who were or are involved, many of whom must have started out with the same awe for the man that I feel. It's too bad there wasn't some other conclusion to this situation." And Tony writes on Facebook, "I'm disappointed with Mr. Ashbrook's behavior. He always seemed like such a nice guy, friendly guy in the air, but I guess that persona was a facade for his real workplace demeanor. It's okay to be tough, demanding boss with high standards. It's not okay to be a bullying jerk. Kudos to those who came forward and said enough." David, last few seconds here. In an industry where trust is so fundamental to what we do, what do all these changes mean for listeners?
Well, there's such an intimate connection that listeners have with the host, and such a strong connection. People want to believe in the places from which they get news. Again, I just think, the best you can look to is at the moment is BUR's journalism and say it's trying its very hardest to live up to its ideals, covering itself at a difficult moment.
David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. David, thank you very much.
You bet.
It's an emotional time here. Everyone at On Point remains committed to this program and to its mission for having the conversations that matter, and we're committed to you, our listeners. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.